So, my name's Michael. I'm the pastor here, and I say that to you because I've been off for 2 weeks. I know. So Carl is always happy when I'm gone. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I had 2 weeks of vacation. It was so nice. It was very good call, good catch. You get restored, right? You get renewed. You get refreshed. You get to have that. In fact, right now, here in real time, I say real time because we had some people that watch later online, and one of the reasons they're watching later online is because it's Labor Day weekend, and they're off doing something else, right? Not like you holy people that are here with us, right? All right. No, but they're off doing something other. It's Labor Day weekend. Labor Day was established to celebrate the laborers, the people that make this nation great and all the hard work they put into it, and so they give them a day off. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, yeah. But think about this, right? One day off, you spent all year working, right? Many days working. You get that day off to celebrate your labor and the things that you're doing, and then you go back to work the next day. Do you feel refreshed? Do you feel renewed? Do you feel restored? Ah, no, right? You need like, I don't know, 2 weeks, right? You need like 2 weeks of vacation. No, but I did. I feel really good coming back in, and sometimes it feels like that. You need more time, and I think that we have a system that's in place that if we would align ourselves with it, we would actually have a day that would fill us up. It would restore us. It would renew us. It would refresh us. It really would if we would embrace it. I just don't think we know how to do it, right? We want to rest. We want to rest. We just don't know how to rest well, right? I don't know what your week looks like, but maybe you have some days that you're off, right? Maybe you have a nice 9-to-5 job, and you get Saturdays and Sundays off, and it just works really great, right? But you fill those days that you're not actually at the job with other things, and you may not feel really refreshed, right? You dread going back to work the next day. Or maybe you have a weird schedule that's all over the place or different hours and it messes with your whole sleep rhythm and family life, like you're sleeping while they're awake or whatever, right? And you look for that day that's off and all you can do is like, well, I better stay on this schedule because I know I got to go back to work and I'm repeating the schedule. So it's just all about that. But what if we reversed all that? What if we focused on our rest first and oriented everything else around rest? That rest would fill us up in such a way that you could go back into work being renewed. You could be with friends and family in a way that you would feel really refreshed, right? You could actually bring restoration to the people around you because you've focused on resting well. Anybody want to rest well? Yeah? Good. Yeah, so we can do that. In fact, that's God's ideal for humanity. Did you know that? God's ideal for humanity is resting with him well. In fact, if you look at the first page of your Bible, right? You get your Bible open, you look at the first page, you've got this chaos. This cosmic chaos that's going on, and God comes in and he orders it into 7 days. Yeah? 7 days. Creates something on one day, fills it on another day. And these 7 days are all aligned with each other, and each one ends with there was evening, and then there was morning, fill in the blank of the day, right? Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven doesn't have that. You ever paid attention to that? Those of you who've read your Bible, you ever paid attention to the first page of the Bible, the seventh day has no end. And that day is special. Why is that special? You recall? It's a rest day. Yeah. God rests on a day, and they call it a Sabbath. All right. Hebrew scholars in the house. Awesome. Right? Sabbath. It's called a Sabbath, right? And that's why I think it's really important to talk about on this Labor Day weekend. It's about how to rest. How can we rest? How can we tap into that seventh day rest? The day that God says is to his ideal is it never ends. It continues to go on and on. In fact, it was so important that as God is forming this group of people, right? Out of all the other people, he starts forming this new group of people. We call them the Israelites. As he's forming them, he makes it really important that this rest day is something that they observe. It sets them apart from all the other people around them. Everybody else is working every single day of the week, and he says, nope, I want you to have this one day to rest, and not just to be, you know, off doing whatever, but to rest in me, to restore your soul, to refresh your soul, to renew your soul, right? To do this, your whole life can be about that. So it's really important to who God is and who his people are to be. And as we enter into that, that's really something important to do, right? To rest well, it overflows into everything else. So how do you rest well? It's a good question, right? Because I think we can mess it up. We can mess it up really easy. I know I've done it several times on my own. Like, I get a day off, and I just want to sit around and do nothing and be around no one. I don't want to be around my family, right? They don't want to be around me because I am not in a good place, right? And I want to fill it with just whatever I want to do. So I eat a bunch of junk food. I do. That's what I've done in the past. I've had a day where I'm like, I'm off. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch YouTube all day long. I did. I watched it for like 8 hours. I was the most miserable person after that next day. Like, that did not fill me up at all. It is not renewed or refreshed in any way, right? And some of the things that, you know, in part, in moderation, like, it does, it feels good, but when it becomes that thing we depend on, it actually defeats us. Maybe it really feels good to get that rest, that renewal. You feel good about yourself when you've bought that next new thing, right? If I could just get this thing, I've gotten by it, and now I feel really good, and that can lead you down a really bad road, right? Yeah, always needing that next new thing, right? But it just ends up draining you. It doesn't refresh you. It drains you. Just like going to work, like, work could be really great. A couple weeks ago, Mark Willock, he gave a message about how work is actually worship, and I'm still trying to lean into that, right? Because my idea of work is just different. He talks about, like, your work can be, like, and but then it becomes, like, that soul thing that identifies you and makes you look good and that you can provide for yourself and create this life for yourself. And it's all about that, and you just feel more drained about it. And let's be honest, you know, being around friends and family can be wonderful, and it can be also really bad, right? All right, raise your hand if you're a parent that has a kid going to start school here next week. Go ahead, raise your hand. Yeah, even the parents that, like, I don't even know if I believe in God, they're like, thank God school's starting again, right? Yeah, I guess get them out of here. But you love your kids, but you're like, I love them more when I can miss them, right? I just, yeah. So those things can be really draining on you. And we try to fill it, and we just don't know how to fill it. So I want to help you today. I'm just going to invite you into this conversation, and you'll have your own reflections on this, and I'm just going to offer mine about the Sabbath. And there's a story that involves Jesus that we're going to see that he's more than just a good teacher. He's more than just a miracle worker. He's something greater than we've ever seen. And maybe we should pay attention to how he's showing us that we can rest well, okay? I'll just set the scene for you a little bit, and we're going to get a look in Luke chapter 13. So if you want to open up a Bible, you can do that. You can use the Red Church Bible here if you want to grab one from the seat in front of you, page 796, if you're looking for that. Follow along on the screen if you want to. But just setting the scene, Jesus is going to be doing some teaching in a place called a synagogue, which we're not really familiar with that. Basically, it's a church. It's like a church. So they can't go up to the temple, and they got these little synagogues all over the place. People meet in these local areas. It's like having church. They do some reading of scriptures, maybe they'd be singing some songs together, and then they hear from somebody that's teaching. So that's the scene that we're entering into. And you're going to notice this is a regular thing for Jesus to do. Jesus is doing this on a regular basis. He's been done it his whole life. It's a rhythm to his life. His whole life is oriented around this seventh-day rest, this Sabbath rest, okay? All right, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 10. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. Sometimes I think it's important for us to pause and just really picture in our mind what's happening, okay? Just think about this scenario, right? It's something that Jesus is doing every week. People are doing every week. They're coming to this place, like a church, and they're listening to some teaching. And then that teacher just stops everything, sees someone in the crowd, in the audience. Well, sees them because they're really unique. Right? They're the only one that's like doubled over, bent over in half. And they've been bent over in half for 18 years. Because I can't even sit on the couch and with my neck this way for very long without it like cramping up and hurting, right? Any other old people in the house want to admit that? I'm getting old. That's like how I get assigned to old. Like, my kids will sleep in weird positions. I'm like, I couldn't do that. I'd be laid up for a month. But like, yeah, you're just like sitting like this and you're like, oh man, that's tight, right? 18 years. Bent over in half. 18 years. I have an 11-year-old son. She's been bent over in half longer than he's been alive. Let's just sit with that for a minute. Think about what your life would have to be like, moving around, getting from place to place. How'd she even get there in the first place? Bent over in half. Life would be miserable, wouldn't it? And yet, here this is part of maybe her life, coming to the synagogue every week to find rest. And Jesus sees her, and he calls out, and he just says, "You're healed." Now, notice in this story is really interesting. Other times, Jesus will meet somebody, and they want to be healed or something like that, and he will say, "Your faith has healed you," right? Your trust in God is what has healed you. Doesn't happen with her, does it? He just says, "You're healed." Then he touches her, and instantly she can stand up straight. And how she praised God. Yeah, right? Finally being able to stand in an upright position. He's taken someone that is bent over and caused them to stand up straight. But think about what's happening here. Is Jesus a good teacher? I think so. Is he a miracle worker? Certainly. But what was causing her to be bent over? That's a whole world. That is kind of scary to think about, isn't it? This evil spirit. There's some kind of spiritual being out there that is trying to make life worse for human beings, wants to return God's beautiful order into chaos, having this woman being bent over for 18 years. 18 years. Now, we look at this, right? 21st century Americans, we look at this and we're like, awesome, Jesus healed somebody. I kind of maybe want to know more about that. Maybe I want to have this relationship with Jesus. Maybe this Jesus could do something in my life. All good things, all good things. But for this people that God has been forming through a particular family member, this guy back in the Old Testament, his name is Abraham. They've been forming them out of that family. And now they've reached this place where they have this synagogue where they're meeting and they're teaching. Well, they also had some instructions that they were supposed to listen to. And this guy who is this leader of this synagogue, he starts to freak out, okay? He sees what happens and he's freaking out. Take a look at what he says here in verse 14. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant. He's upset at Jesus, that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." we laugh at it, don't we? Because we're like, what, wouldn't that be the perfect day to come and be healed? Like, that would be great. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We came to church and we are actually renewed. We were restored in some way. Right? We were refreshed that we could go out of here and, man, like, it overflows into our work week. Wouldn't that be great? Couldn't we leave here and actually stand up straight? That would be a great thing to do. But he's focused on something else, isn't he? Now, I had to do a little digging on this one because I was scratching my head going like, what is your problem, dude? Right? Well, I don't get it. Why are you so upset that someone would do a miracle in your presence at your church? Why are you so upset and talking to the crowd and trying to teach the crowd to do something different? Like, don't come here to be healed, right? Go come a different time to be healed, right? Let's ignore the fact that this person who's a good teacher and a miracle worker just cast out an evil spirit of our presence. Let's not focus on that, right? Yeah, so I did some digging, and he's actually quoting one of their words of instructions, or some of their laws of the Jewish people as they're being formed, that God really wanted them to see how important the Sabbath day is. There's so much stuff he talks about the Sabbath day. You're like, really? Get over it. It's one day of the week. Why are you focused on this so much? But it's really important to them. Here's what it is from Exodus chapter 31, verse 15. Listen. He's almost quoting it, isn't he? You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, right? Things that you do. But the seventh day must be a Sabbath, a day of complete rest, a holy day. It's a day set apart, right? Dedicated to the Lord, or as they would call him, Yahweh. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. What? I mean, that just escalated really quickly. It's a capital punishment for doing work on a day you're not supposed to do work. All right, if I was confused before, now I'm really confused. And I'm like, you know what? It's verses like this that people that don't know much about the Bible and they start reading it, they read something like this and they're like, and we're done, right? There's this God. It's like he's so vindictive. Like, if you don't do what I say, off with your head, something, right? What is happening here? And if we just step back and think about what God's ideal is, do you remember God's ideal, right? With human beings, to enter this place of rest. But not just rest, but like being supported by, being sustained by God's very presence. Being in God's presence to such a degree that you're fully renewed, fully restored, fully refreshed, and you get to do that with God forever. It's God's very life. And when you do work on a day that God said, keep apart from everything else, keep it not ordinary, but a holy day, something that's sacred. When you do that, when you work on a day like that, you're rejecting God's whole life that he has for you. That's the only way I can make sense of this, guys. That's got to be why I think that it's a capital punishment type of thing, because you end up going to be dead anyway. You're going to continue to try to create rest on your own terms, in your own way, with your own hands. That next best thing, right? The next new thing, the next dollar, the next accomplishment, right? The next exciting thing that I can be a part of. I'm going to create it for myself. I'm going to sustain myself. But if you can push away from that and go, God, I'm going to trust you one day a week to take care of all of the things. You're going to sustain me. You can figure out when how my bills are going to pay this day. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to be like, you know what? I don't need that next new thing today. I'm going to allow what you have to bring into my life. What I can see is these relationships that have been draining me, you know what? I'm going to have to push a pause on those obligations, and I'm just going to see how you are building relationships within me. And how can I better relate? Like, it's really important. So important that this guy is like, whoa, stop everything. Let's not get carried away. I don't want anybody to die today. Right? Do you see his perspective a little bit? Like, if we do this, if we are healing people on the Sabbath, people are going to have to die. Let's not do this. Now, that's the difference, too. He gets really focused on the don'ts of the Sabbath. Right? Don't come to get healed on the Sabbath. Do that another time, right? It's a big don't. Don't. Now, they also have a ton of things about what they're not to do on the Sabbath. Can't carry things on the Sabbath, right? You can't light a fire on the Sabbath, okay? Can't do things like that. There's a lot of things that they can't do. But yet there's some things that they allow themselves to do. And that's where Jesus picks up and he starts poking at this a little bit. Like, you're being hypocritical here. You say that people can't be healed on the Sabbath? That's the purpose of the Sabbath, right? It's the place and the time to be restored and renewed. In fact, even more than that, Jesus says there's something else that they're intended for. This is intended for. Let's finish this up in verses 15 through 16. The Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day." Right now, everyone's like dead quiet. They're like, whoa. Right? "Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage, tied up, okay, by Satan," that spiritual being, "for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? Come back on a different day to be released from your bondage, from this slavery of this evil presence that is causing you to be bent over. Come on a different day." 18 years. 18 years of 6 days a week that she could be healed, and no one healed her. Which day? Which day would you like her to come back on? Because she came back on other days, right? She's looking for this rest and this renewal and this restoration and this release. And it wasn't happening on the Sabbath, and it wasn't happening any other day of the week, so tell me when this is supposed to happen. And because of their don't mentality on the Sabbath, this person spent 18 years of not being renewed, restored, refreshed, or as Jesus puts it, released. Being released by the very thing that held her in bondage. Because don't do it on the Sabbath. Super important to have a day of rest. So important that I would advise you, invite you in, strongly suggest, however you want to phrase it, to orient your entire life around a day where you rest. Where you rest not just because you want a day off, but you rest in God to refresh your soul, to renew your soul, to have your very life be restored, that all those things that you're wrestling with every other day of the week are being released. So how do you do that? Okay? That's the question. I want to do this. I want to be a part of this. It would be amazing if my life were so oriented around one day that it was so refreshed, so restored, so renewed, that it overflowed in the other days of the week, and I could fully be the person God intended me. I love that. I'm going to offer a few Sabbath do's, things you can do on the Sabbath, not the don'ts, okay? So here's just a few that I incorporated in my own life. I'll talk about a little bit just to help you, okay? Just to get you started. So the first one, do turn off your notifications. I'm not kidding you. That little thing is like the life-giving thing. Like, it's okay. Like, you'll be all right. You'll be okay, right? I know you're important people. I do. I get you. You're super important. People contact you because you're important. You're just not that important, okay? It's okay to turn it off for a day. Or even if you just need to start with like a time frame. Like, I'm going to turn my notifications off for an amount of time. Just start there. Then you have no obligation to respond to anything. And it's not going to suck the life out of you, right? Okay, so do turn off your notifications. Do enjoy maybe a hobby or another activity. That just do that connects you with, well, God, right? Just connects you with God. Maybe for some of you, that's like, I'm just going to go sit out on a park bench and just listen to the life around me. Maybe for others of you, that's, you know, hunting, going out into that park and killing things. I mean, I don't know, whatever, right, connects with God in some way. Boy, that was gross, wasn't it? I got to stick with the script. That's what I got to do. Just stick with the script, right? Yeah, but you enjoy it in some way, right? Enjoy, embrace that. Also, embrace, do this. Do embrace, I use this word on purpose, but do embrace the company of friends and family. I use embrace on purpose because sometimes I have to have that mentality to go like, you know what, this is going to be good. It really is like a hug to go and be around people that I love and they love me, right? Rather than feeling obligated, right, to their expectations and things like that, just go and like, I just want to hug you, right? Just want to embrace that company. Now, for some of you, maybe that isn't the best place. I understand that. That's why there's suggestions here, okay? So you can find your own thing. But where it all really needs to start is this last one. In all honesty, it's not just because I'm a pastor and I'm part of this church or something like this, but it really is helps you to define what God's rest and restoration and renewal and refreshing and releasing presence is all about. It's about do rest in reading God's word. Do it. Maybe not Exodus 31. That's weird. But so I give some suggestions here. In fact, I give you five, which gives you five Sabbath days. Okay? Five Sabbath days. Just take one of these, read it on the time that you say you're going to be off and you're going to rest, and not just read it. Okay? But think about what's being said. Ask some questions about it. Maybe there's more that you need to find out. You can certainly ask me. I'll totally nerd out with you. It'd be fun, right? But there's five of them here. Psalm 1. It's the first psalm in there. They're all psalms. There's these songs and poems that really help to encapsulate God's rest. These are ones that I picked up. Okay? Psalm 1. Psalm 23 is in there. Did you see that one? Some of us don't know that one unless we hear it at a funeral. Deb Westfall talked about that last week, didn't she? Like, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. You get that? And you're like, oh yeah, we do that at funerals. That's why, which is crazy because it's all about life and rest. So read it, but think about it. Picture the images that are coming to mind, right? So I encourage you to just take a time, right? Think in your mind, like what day or even part of a day, okay? Even part of a day that you could just break off and do this. And maybe you do this with those friends or family, right? And you just take some, your friends and family, get around, and let's just read this and get their perspective on it. Let's just read one. Remember, it's one of these psalms a week. One psalm a week, guys. Yeah, I guarantee you'll feel like it's not enough, right? You want to read more. You'll be like, it'll be good. And then if you get nerdy like me, it's all the time, 24/7, right? So I encourage you to take time to do this. It's so important that God wants us to wrap and orient our whole life around this one day where we rest in him so that we finally can get that refreshing presence in our life, that we can be renewed and restored and we can be released into the people that God has created us to be from the very beginning.